Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. We are in playoff season. Tis the season for playoff season. We're headed into the wild card round off of a win at the Chargers in LA. And that was a fun little win for our team because there was a lot of momentum going into that game. Or coming out of that game, I should say. But I'm your host, Lexi.
I'm Chrissy.
I'm Jody. Hey, y'all. So, as Lexi said, the game against the Chargers, where we saw all backups except Chris Jones, few of the defensive players, but for the most part, Chris Jones. What are our thoughts about playing the Chargers in Week 18?
It was the most boring game I've ever witnessed.
In my whole entire life.
It was so boring.
It was awful.
Like, props to Mike Edwards for his awesome scoop and score and Omenihu for, you know, stripping that ball. But after that, it was just like, well, this is a preseason football game. So
it's so funny you say that because that was my joke going into this game. I was like, well, I guess week 18 turned into preseason week 4. And I feel like the NFL has been trying really hard to make week 18 competitive so teams don't sit their starters, which is why most of them are kind of like division matchups, right? But no, it didn't work for us.
I feel like they really had high hopes that it was going to be between us and the Chargers. And like it was going to be like for the division kind of thing. But it just didn't.
The Chargers.
It's amazing how the NFL.
It works out for the Dolphins and Bills, though. Like that was like for the division.
It's amazing how the NFL, after year after year after year after year, thinks the Chargers, they're going to be a good team.
Every year,
they just think that this Chargers team is going to be good, and they're horrible every year. So it's like, if you're going to put anybody in Week 18, like, why is that the game out of all the division games to choose for us to put there? You would think they would have did the Broncos with Sean Payton.
That's what I was just going to say. Is I'm surprised they didn't do Sean Payton and the Broncos, but whatever. That's fine.
Real random. What questions? What do y'all have to say about the offense? I have one thought and one thought only, but I'll let y'all go. Ahead,
I just can't believe that Gabbert is our backup. Like, I am shocked that there is not someone else out there that could be better than that. Because guys, I could play better than Gabbert, guys, and he's not good.
He's not good at all.
40-yard run he made, okay?
He's not good at all. And go ahead.
I was just going to say, I did like seeing, I know he had some drops. Shocker. I know it's crazy, drops. I like seeing McColl out there. I thought he, you know, showed some stuff that we should be using with our offense. So I'd like to see more of that. But it was ugly. It was boring.
Yeah. I was actually really excited to see McColl, and I can't believe he played 100% of the snaps. That's kind of crazy. But he was ready to be out there, and I love that attitude from him. I don't know if you guys watched, but he was mic'd up during the game. So I watched that today, and he was just having so much fun. It was just so good to see that side of McColl. And I don't know. I was proud of him. He did have a few drops, a few disconnects, but I feel like that's just comes with the backup quarterback and wide receiver that hasn't played in a while. So
who hasn't had a few drops? So there's a few things I have to say about McColl. I think it's great seeing McColl back. I had heard something earlier about McColl not really being as hurt as he was, but they just didn't really play him, just maybe in a sense to save him. I don't know. I'm not going to go.
Surgery, didn't he?
Yeah, but he had some surgery.
Yeah, but I mean, that was like 5 weeks ago or 6 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, like, so, I wonder if, like, what kind of surgery was it? Was it more of, like, a Nick Bolton surgery, or was it more of, like, a Pacheco, more of a Pacheco surgery? Like, we never know. Yeah. They never tell us.
But McColl, he looked super refreshed, and he just looked super energetic, and you could tell that he's still trying to, like, prove that, like, I still got it, I'm that guy, based off of everything that happened when he went to the Jets, too. So it was really good to see him out there and to be as explosive and as electric as he was, because that's something that we haven't seen in a really long time. So that was really a breath of fresh air seeing from McColl. Like, if it was up to me, it would go Rashee Rice, Mecole Hardman, everybody else. That's my order when it comes to the receiver room.
He was our wide receiver 2 and 3 last year. So I'm like, I feel like it wouldn't be hard to get him back to that position. So I want to see way more of Mecole in this playoff game than I want to see of
MVP. Yeah. Yeah, and they, even Patrick was talking about how, like, we have to connect on those deep shots downfield in this next game. And Mecole is a guy who has the speed to get down there. So I would like to see some deep shots to Rashi, and I'd love to see some deep shots to Mecole as well. And MVS can just keep blocking.
And I think that's going to happen, right? Like, I think that now – I think that's going to happen, especially – you know, and maybe, like, this past week with the preseason – God, it was not a preseason game. I'll just call it.
It felt like it.
I'm like, oh, I actually called it a preseason. But maybe that's what like Andy and them, they were trying to do. They were just trying to see like, all right, what can we get out of these guys? Like, and I can't lie, I barely paid attention. I was like, this game is just, woo.
I might have dozed in the third quarter.
I barely paid attention. Yeah, I barely paid attention. But from what I did see, like, you can see Mecole was out there. I saw a lot more Noah Gray. Just because he had snaps didn't mean he had
a lot of drops in that game, though. And Noah's not typically the drop guy.
Exactly.
I feel like
he was getting them out of the way. That's all.
Honestly, I just feel like it was a little bit of disconnect with the backup quarterback. And that's going to happen. And
I can get that.
All I can say is he's not anything as possible.
He's not. He's so bad, y'all. Like, we got to.
And
I don't know what we're going to do next year, but I'm telling you right now, if something happened and Patrick couldn't play a series or he couldn't play a half,
we're screwed.
I have no faith in all in Blaine Gabbert.
We're so screwed.
We are screwed. Okay. Like,
put Travis Kelce in at quarterback or put him in.
I was going to say, if Justin Reed can kick field goals, he could probably play quarterback too, right? Like, I just feel like.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, he can throw a ball, right? Like,
I really wanted to see a little bit of Chris Olatokun.
Yeah.
Very serious. Kind of wanted to see a little bit of him because I'm like, we know what Gabbert is. We know what he brings. I want to see this younger guy that
can really? I didn't know what Gabbert was going to bring. Like, I knew who Gabbert was when he was with Tampa Bay, but I didn't know what he was going to do in this Chiefs offense. And I was
I'll be the first to admit, like, I thought maybe Gabbert would bring some good here just because he had been with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. And I was like, maybe he'll bring some, like, knowledge over here. But
No.
So far, no.
No, not at all. Well, that's enough about the offense because there's really not much to say about them. But the defense.
Wait, I want to touch on Creed Humphrey and his scoop and run.
Which one? Because he did that a few times. he was like, I'm going, I'm getting it.
Yeah, I feel like at this point, Andy has to draw something up for Creed. And I don't know how he's going to do it because it's probably impossible to do since he plays center. But I would just love to see Creed. He's just so full of energy, just good energy.
He really is.
Basically, what he showed us is he always has awareness of what's happening.
And I loved that he was at right guard at times. I was like, he's been right guard in his entire life. And he's
And Tooney was playing all over the place.
He was all over.
But is that concerning?
No, I think they were just trying things out.
So Alec Reddy is who Blaine Gabbert gets the snaps from. So that made sense to me. Yeah. But I did think it was funny that because they were what I heard was, and granted, you know, this is what I heard. But I heard they were trying to limit the snaps between Tooney, Creed, and Trey Smith since they're still our ones. And then still trying to get the young guys in there for some reps. But then people started getting hurt. So they had to keep, moving. I liked that our guys, I think that shows – it's a testament to show, our offensive line coach how good he is at having those guys be able to step in and fill in a position that they've never potentially technically played before but still know what they're supposed to do.
I think it was actually a great sign, like you said. I think it was – great thing that those guys can fill into different spots if needed. So I think Allegretti and Caliendo, they played really well as backups. I think Niang did a pretty good job. So
I kind of think that just speaks to this team in general because that's something we already knew about the defense before the year started. Spags told us how. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm cold, you guys. I
literally have one like right over here. Like, I was like, if I wrap up in a blanket right
so
now,
y'all are cold.
That tells you guys, for y'all listening that are not in the city of Kansas City, it is freezing here. We got 7 inches of snow where I'm at right now. I don't know about where Chrissy said they got a foot of snow over there where she is. I don't know what's happening in Overland Park with Lexi, but ton of snow. We all lost power at one point in time. We
I
all got power
my entire driveway, and I'm tired.
Yeah.
Yes. Snowblower for the win.
Yeah. A leaf blower. If you are in Kansas City and you have never used a leaf blower to clean your driveway, here's your tip. Get a leaf blower. It'll do it. But please stay warm. And it's so funny it's freezing cold today, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be colder on Saturday. So if you go outside and you're cold, it's going to be colder at the game on Saturday. So
Go buy your hand warmers and such now before they sell out.
Y'all,
before Saturday.
The amount of stuff that I have Amazon primed to my house.
I bet.
Oh, I'm easily at about $170 in just like clothes.
Warm weather stuff.
Ridiculous. Anyway. But I'm not surprised to see that from the O-line, especially because that's what Spags is teaching with the defense. He's teaching those guys how to be rotational guys and being able to play in these different spots. So to kind of see that come through on the offensive side of the ball is a really great sign. And it really just kind of gives us hope for what's to come in the future, too. So about the defense was still good. The defense was still good. They were still very good.
Looked great. And I love some of the young pass rushers.
Yeah.
Some of the young pass rushers, like BJ, looked great.
Malik Herring
had a game, man. Yeah, I
definitely did.
And I know it's the Chargers, but still, they showed some stuff.
Forget that Malik Herring should have been a top draft pick, except that he had a really bad college injury. ACL he tore. So we really lucked out in getting him. And actually, he had a really good game. I was excited.
He did.
So.
I want some hot chocolate.
I know. I was just like, oh my God, that actually sounds really good.
Matt's going to make us some hot chocolate while we're
He can make the hot chocolate on Saturday for the whole
entire Someone DoorDash it, please. Like, that would be great. Thanks so much.
No, but I do think our defense played a good game, which is not surprising considering how well they've played all season, how well the backups have done. I think Cam Jones at number 44. He had a really good game. You put your hand up. What's that, Joni?
I wanted you to finish your sentence before I was going to say what I was going to say about.
No, I just think they had I think Joshua Williams had himself a good game.
He did.
And like, they did good.
He did kind of like redemption from a couple of weeks prior when he got cooked. But, you know, it's good to see him kind of bounce back. So, Chris Jones, let's talk about him really, really just.
Okay. I think we have differing thoughts on this. So you give yours and I'll give mine.
Here's my thought about Chris Jones. Him playing in the game, you want to get $1.25 or $1.5 million, whatever, because you just needed a half sack. Cool beans. I didn't think he should play. We talked about that on King of Queens last week. If you didn't listen to the episode, go back and listen to it. Not going to go through the spiel again today. But here's my thought, right? So he finally got the sack in the third quarter. I was, actually surprised that Andy Reid let him even come back into the game after halftime. I was really shocked about that. But two, Chris Jones had how many pressures? Like 20 quarterback pressures?
He had a ton.
Why doesn't he do that every week?
He actually does. He has quarterback pressures every week.
Chris Jones does not average that many quarterback pressures every single week.
Contradict your point there. I will say I read a stat about him last week before this game that he is being like double and triple teamed more than
anyone. We know that already. We know that already.
Or defense. That's not new.
But we know that.
Thing.
Like, I feel like he played with extra incentive this week, and he played harder. He played more aggressively this week than he's played in 17 weeks just to get that one sack. And I don't like how that makes me feel, because where have you been all these other times? Granted, I get some of the other times he's trying to stop the run. Totally get that. And right now he was only solely focusing on like getting the sack, which is going to give quarterback pressures. But it's like, if you're going to do that consistently for three quarters nonstop, That's what I want to see from you literally every single week, like every week. I could be solo and alone on that thought, but I just was like, you put a whole lot of effort into this week to get that one sack. I don't feel like he does. And Chris Jones is really good. I'm not taking that from him, but I feel like he played with an extra level of intensity this week than he's played in previous weeks.
In his defense, I think anyone's going to play with extra level of intensity to get that $1 million, right? So my take is
I have thoughts.
My take's gonna be different than both of yours, so I'm just gonna say my take. But
yeah, go ahead.
My take on Chris Jones, and we all had our thoughts about him in the offseason. I had my opinions, right? My take with him right now is I think he's regretting everything with his agents, and I think he's regretting every decision he made in the offseason. And he really took advantage of that this game. And I understand he could have gotten it plenty of other weeks prior. I completely get that. I'm not taking that away. But I'm with Chris right now. And I understand he wanted that sack and he wanted that money. And I think his agents really, really advised him the wrong way.
They absolutely did.
Telling him to sit out all that time he missed in training camp and all the stuff before. And then the first week of the season, I think he really, really regretted that. And I don't think he's going to say that like out loud, but he retweeted, reposted, whatever, re-exed stuff online this week that was like, yeah, my agent's telling me congrats on the sack when I'm just trying to make up for lost money at this point. So, you know what I think? I think his agents advised him really poorly. I think he went with what they were saying. And I think he regrets it. I really like Chris Jones, and I really like the energy he brings to our defense. He's such a leader, and I really think the reaction that you saw from our defense and our entire team on the sideline to him getting that sack spoke volumes to me about what I thought about him holding out and just all that whole situation. So that's okay, kind of
all right. I want to go. Okay. Yeah, first of all, I do see both sides of your arguments. No, like I really do. Sorry. Here's my thing about Chris Jones, guys. He held out in the offseason, right? We saw how that all out. We were just talking about how that all went down. It was a very, to me, and I'm not hating on him for this at this point. I've already said my piece on Chris Jones and that decision. It was a selfish move to hold out. It was, okay? To play in this game to earn $1.25 million was also a selfish move, but I also understand he wants to earn $1.25 million. That's a lot of money. So I understand him wanting to do that. Am I surprised that he made a selfish decision to sit out and then to do this? No. Because that's Chris Jones. Can he make selfish decisions while still being a leader on the team? Yes. So it's like, to me, like, I don't have a problem with him doing it. Had he gotten injured, it would have been a big issue because he played three quarters, almost a full three quarters. It was like, 5 minutes left into the third quarter when he finally got his sack. But like, here's the thing, like Jody's saying, like, had he not held out, you know, he could have had that first game where he could have had a sack, or he could have had that extra effort that we saw this last game through multiple games during the season and had that extra half a sack way earlier than having to wait till the last game of the season to get it. So to me, it's like, I don't necessarily like seeing that there was extra effort in this last game, because not that we necessarily needed it in the other games because our defense has been so lights out.
I mean, technically we did need it in a few games.
It could have made a big difference. Hackers. But like, I don't appreciate like giving, because like when Tyrann Mathieu, when he was like making business decisions in the past, like we reamed him for it, right? And I'm not saying Chris Jones has been making business decisions, but there definitely was an extra boost of motivation for him this last game. And I just wish we could have seen a little bit of more of that sprinkled throughout some of the games where we could have used that type of a performance. And I know he's been double and triple teamed. So like I said, I can see both sides.
I guess,
you're supposed to give your all every single game. You're not supposed to wait till the last game and you're like, crap, I got to get a half a sack. I better show my all. Like, do it the whole season.
Especially if you're in a contract year. And I don't know if you guys know, but like, yes, so his contract, it was based off of two different incentives, right? Get 10, what was it? Was it 10 or 10 and a half? 10?
10 and a half.
I think it was double digit.
10, right? So this one was get 10 sacks and he had 9.5.
No, he had not.
He said double digit sacks on his mic testing.
Which would be regardless.
Right? I thought it was just, who cares?
The next,
it happened. Good for him.
The next level he did was 15 sacks. So Chris Jones said at the beginning of the year, like, I'm going to get 15 sacks this year. I'm going to be DPOY. I'm going to be all of these things. So technically, he should have got 15 sacks because that was what he originally wanted, was 15 sacks. And he ended at 9.5 or 10. He ended at 10 and ended, well, he was at 10 and got 11. I don't know where he's at right now. I was.
I think he was at 9.5 and he ended at 10 or 10.5.
Right. So he needed 10. So, I mean, that's my thing about that. Right. So if he would have played with this energy all season long, there's no reason why he shouldn't have got 15 sacks because he is like that. He is that guy. And you've seen how the rest of the defensive line was helping him because they wanted him to get that sack as well, which is why you've seen all that excitement on the sidelines. Right. So I kind of
go ahead. Can I give a hot take?
Yep.
Or a hot,
yep.
Whatever.
Of course.
We can do something hot in Kansas City right now. Let me tell you.
Anything, please.
Something hot for sure. I kind of think, now I love Chris Jones, and you just heard my defense of him, right?
I think everybody loves Chris Jones.
Of course. Yeah. Right. He's lovable, like for sure.
He's a little annoying, but yeah.
But I genuinely think he thought he was easily going to get 10.5 sacks plus.
Oh, yeah.
Of course he did.
Oh, yeah.
I think he
had been feeling himself all season long.
And
it's OTAs.
It did not go that way for him this season. And so I think he got to this last game and was like, shit.
That goes back to, right? Chris Jones is playing for money, right? He wants all the money.
But I think he thought this was going to come a lot easier and it didn't.
And it didn't, right?
I think now he's regretting listening to his agents being like, I mean, the whole thing is full circle. It's full freaking.
He could have been looking on the Chiefs. He could have been looking on the timeline for 9 months to see everybody telling him that he needs to find a different agent. And this is way back in April.
We all said that. Like, it was obvious.
So for Chris Jones to now be finally feeling remorseful and emotional and his question
because
today
that sucks, that
with the whole, this could be my last game at Arrowhead. It damn near might be. You know why? Because one, we offered you a lot of money in the offseason.
You didn't take the same thing with, it happens all the time where you offer a guy money. They don't take it because they think they deserve more. And then they play under what they should have played. And then they're
Chris Jones is, so Michael says he was double teamed 73% of his snaps. That's not,
I said that,
but that's not a this year thing, y'all. Chris Jones is always double teamed. That's not a 2023-2024 thing.
For sure.
That's the reason why he's one of the best edges in the league, because he's able to overcome being double teamed every year, year after year. And
well, and look at players like Max Crosby. Or, you know, other top D-line pass rushers.
Oh, my God.
They are still making an impact with those sacks every single game, whether they are double or triple teamed or not. They are finding ways to make themselves known. Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean,
Miles Garrett is like that. He is.
Thank you. Yeah, Miles Garrett. That's the name I couldn't think of. Yeah.
Who is it?
TJ Watt has Hendrickson.
TJ Watt has 15 sacks or something, or 16 or something.
16, 17. Yeah.
17
and then didn't even play the full game, the last game. So, I mean, even though Chris Jones is double teamed, he is not the only dude in this league who is getting that double and triple team. And those guys are still going out there and making an impact. So now I feel like when I get off the podcast, I got to go look up how old everybody is. Go look up how old Miles Garrett is. TJ Watt. I got to go look up how old all these guys are, because Aaron Donald is probably the oldest out of all of them, right?
Yeah, and he's definitely slowed down.
But how many
sacks? He's slowed down.
Right? And he's coming off of that big injury from last year. So I think that's my thing with Chris Jones. Chris Jones knows that Kansas City wants him. We want him to be on this team. If we didn't want him to be here, we wouldn't have put in all this effort in the offseason to try to get him to be here. But he wanted to listen to his agent and do that.
Eight. Aaron Donald has 8 sacks.
Which, that's great for him coming off of the injury that he had last year, right? you know, Chris Jones is fresh. He ain't had no injuries. He's knock on wood.
Knock on all the wood.
Knock as hard as I possibly can. So I guess that's my thing about Chris Jones. And we can definitely talk about it a lot more in the offseason.
We can move on. Yeah, we can move on from this.
I just thought that whatever his production, whatever he did this past Saturday, I want to see it again this Saturday.
Question here now. Yeah. Chris Jones was for money, so I get it.
Yeah,
but Travis Kelce selfishly set out to get his 1,000 yards.
Unselfishly.
Sorry, that's what I meant to say. Unselfishly.
So, what are your thoughts about that? Because I have a few thoughts about that too.
Yeah, what are your thoughts about that?
So, I feel like I still have a cough from when I was sick last week. So I'm sorry, guys. But here's the thing about Travis Kelce. I'm not surprised that an eighth straight 1,000-yard season was not like in his, like, I've got to get this, because he's already done it 7 times. He's a first ballot Hall of Fame tight end. We know he's not going to miss it. He's going to go straight in. That's not, and it's like, I understand, like, and I think, like, with LaPorta getting injured earlier that day or whatnot, I think that also probably had a lot to do with it. Like, Travis Kelce is what, 34? Right? Getting hit as often as he's been hit this year and double teamed and triple teamed and just being injured since training camp and whatnot, I think it was probably more important to him to have a week off where he could get himself right, make himself healthier than he was for the playoff push at the end of the season. I think that is more important to him than a record he's had, because the next closest guys is what, three straight 1,000 yard seasons. And Travis has 7, guys, and he missed the last one by 16 yards. I do not think he cares. He is way ahead on that. I think he cares more about the playoff push because he is such a team player than an individual accolade that he's way ahead on. So,
well, I'm rounding up anyway, so I'm just going to give it to him. But I'm like, I'm
right. I know. Same.
I'm rounding up anyway. But my thing is, if you look over the past season, and you look at Travis Kelce, right, every game he looks like not necessarily tired. He looks a little beat up. He looks a little slower. He looks
34. On a football field.
That's okay. There's nothing wrong with looking 34. Shout out to us 30 plus people. And so I'm actually really glad, and I think I beat the horse on this last week. I didn't want to see Travis at all. I didn't want to see him in warmups. I didn't want to even see him really thinking about football. I wanted him to really just take this week and relax, just because I know these next 4 weeks of football or 4 games of football can be very intense. So I was very – yes, it sucks because he definitely deserves to get those 16 yards. However, Travis also probably had the most drops this year than he's had in his whole entire career too. So he probably should have had it a long time ago. He probably should have had it a long time ago, if we're being honest. But I'm really glad
if he was an offside, he would have had it.
Or if he wouldn't have dropped.
Why you got to bring that up, Lexi? Why you got to bring that up? We're healing, okay? We are healing here. I
mean, he's also dropped a couple of touchdowns too. You know, there's a few things there.
You look at those few plays he could have had. What could have been, man?
Yeah, and I think Travis knows that.
He knows. He's well aware.
And so Michael says there was no money involved. So, you know, he didn't really have a need to play. He could rest, which is very true. But also Travis Kelce is working on legacy at the same time. I would rather say 8th and 7th.
There was an interview today with like Mahomes and Andy Reid, or something was released today. I don't know what website it was on, but I was reading it earlier. And they were both saying like Mahomes was apparently encouraging Travis to play up until game time, like telling him to go out there, telling him to go get his yards. And Travis was like, no, like,
I'm sure
I'm trying to rest. I'm trying to get the Super Bowl. Like, I don't need to be out there to get this silly little record. Right.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say it's silly.
I don't think it's silly. I think 1,000 yards is really impressive.
And honestly, you had like 980 yards. So like, you're still really impressive.
True. I mean, I did not want Travis to play. Like,
you're literally right there. So honestly, in my heart, it counts.
I didn't want him to play, just to be very transparent about that. So let's go ahead and get into
just finishing my thought.
No, go ahead.
Like, if we had the wide receiver weapons to have gotten it done, he would have been at 1,000. We absolutely didn't have that in Rashi until like mid-season, right? So,
and if he wouldn't have dropped a couple passes.
And yeah, a few drop passes and a few extra wide receivers to help this case and put some fear and deep in.
Let's do it again next year, Trev. Let's start the streak back over
next year. 1,000 next year. It's fine.
And you know what? He sat two games and had limited reps on another. So you know what? 1,000 yards to Travis. We're giving it to him.
Yeah, I'm rounding up.
There you go, Trav.
Congratulations. Oh, 8 straight 1,000-yard season.
8 straight. We gave it to him. We're the queens. We can do what we want. Yeah.
Whatever. He gets an award in our
eyes.
I know, right?
He does.
Always love, always love. So while we're here, let's go ahead and just kind of get into it. It is wild card weekend, and it is Chiefs versus Dolphins. So, few things. A, we deserve this. We were supposed to get this in the regular season, and they made it a Germany game. A. B, it's like the football guys were like, you know what? You know what, Kansas City? We're going to go ahead and give you this reunion, and it's happening, and I can't wait. And it may be the coldest game in NFL history. Well, I don't think it's in NFL history, but it is definitely in Chiefs history. This is going to be the coldest game in Chiefs history. Dating back, maybe. I know there was like a game in 1995, and then there was one way before that.
Was like one that was like negative 15 wind chill, but you know.
Yeah, sick. Sick. Before we get into this game this weekend, Lexi, give us the weather update before we get into Chiefs-Dolphins this weekend, because the weather is going to definitely make an impact on this game. I don't care what Andy Reid says. It's going to make an impact on this game. So
I know, and I love Andy Reid for that. I know he just is so pure, and it's like, it doesn't matter. We're playing this game. It doesn't matter. Whatever. Weekend update. There is a chance of a 70% chance of snow on Friday. 29 degree high. So we already got like 7 inches of snow.
Heat wave.
Yeah, it's supposed to snow Thursday going into Friday, by the way. And it's supposed to be another like 1 to 2.
Then our game Saturday, the low is predicted for -2. The high is predicted.
And that's not including wind chill.
The
not
wind chill at kickoff.
That's not even wind chill.
The kickoff wind chill is -10.
The high is 10 total. The wind chill is supposed to be -10.
Correct.
And it's a night game.
What a fun game.
Oh, and just so you know,
it's going to have so much fun.
By 10 p.m., it's going to be a wind chill of -16.
Now, right. And woo! The high on Sunday. So going into the next day, because it's a night game, it's going to be late. High on Sunday is 0.
And it's supposed to technically be like a dusting of snow again Saturday night going into Sunday.
So it's going to be...
You guys, what a magical time.
And you know what also is funny? The snow that you see outside
frozen fish sticks.
No, I don't like New Year's magic.
The snow that you see outside right now, it will not be melted by Saturday, by the way.
It's going to be 41 tomorrow.
It is?
Tomorrow might melt a little bit, but it's not going
to
melt.
It's going to be 41. It's 41.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah.
For some reason.
It's going to feel awesome.
It's going to feel like summer.
Look, this is why we're all sick.
This is why.
It's summer tomorrow and winter again by the weekend.
How dare it go?
Yeah, 41 on Wednesday and then 36 on Thursday.
Ridiculous. It's
ridiculous. And then it drops.
It is 100%. Anyway, let's get into the game. So I was listening to a podcast before I hopped on here and heard an absurd, outrageous stat. And I texted y'all the stat and we all kind of chuckled and laughed. And I was like, there's no way that's true.
Oh,
the Dolphins are 0-10 in games under 40 degrees. Their last 10 games that have been under 40 degrees. So it's going to be...
I don't know if y'all
a little bit colder.
Did you guys hear what Jawan Taylor said today?
Our friend
Aaron Ladd, I think, or either it was Aaron or Harold. I can't remember now. One of them was in the locker room interviewing guys. And Jawan Taylor said, I played for the Jaguars and coming in here last season, you guys definitely have the upper hand with the cold weather. So that was interesting.
You guys, he's a part of us. Well, last year when he was there with them. Got it.
We had the upper hand last year and now he's with us. He was like laughing. He's like, yeah, like this is great.
I love this person. I'm sure his body has not acclimated to Kansas City weather yet, because mine has not acclimated back yet either. So let's kind of get into the matchup of this game, right? I was just looking at what looks like the injury report right now for the Dolphins. And
you would not look beautiful in Dolphins colors, by the way.
We look pretty in every color, but definitely the best in these ones. So,
so let's kind of get into the matchup. There are a lot of players who are going to be out for the Dolphins this week, including a lot of their starters. I feel like they're only starting like maybe five or six starters on their offensive line in general, just on their offense.
Their O-line is beat
up. And that's including a hobbled Tyreek Hill. Is Jalen Waddle out yet? I don't think he's technically out.
He's still questionable. He's still questionable.
All of their receivers and running backs are hobbled, and that kind of really sucks.
Jalen
right?
Waddle and Tyreek Hill are questionable, which they're going to play. They're going to play. But
Tyreek will play. Waddle will probably play. He was a late scratch this weekend. Thanks.
Yeah.
Negative 10 weather is not favorable for injuries.
It's not, because you guys, like, I don't know if you guys have ever had muscular injuries or things like that.
No.
It does not work. It does not work in the cold. You have to keep that stuff warm to keep them from constricting and getting tightened up on you. So they're going to have to be doing everything they can with these injuries that they're dealing with. Especially for like Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, or Octane with his ribs and his toe. Like, that one's not necessarily muscular, it doesn't sound like, but like you have to keep those things warm. And especially if you are running, that can increase your injury potential so much because they keep wanting to tighten back up. Like, I don't envy those guys. Like, I don't. Well, it's, you know.
And didn't A-Chain leave the game early last week? Like, he came back.
Yeah,
he left the game early for an injury, too. So, I don't know what the status is.
He has a toe and rib injury. He has both, toe and rib. And then Mostert also has a knee and ankle injury. So, like, who freaking knows?
With Karen Armstead is injured.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they definitely had – they have a lot of injuries that they're battling against. And, you know, the Dolphins have been a good team all year round. So I'm sure that they're going to figure out a way to come to Arrowhead and play. But they cannot – if I have to think about our keys to winning, I think theirs is very similar, right? They can't have those turnovers. Tua had way too many turnovers in this last game. And if you saw the clip – I don't know if y'all saw it. I should have uploaded it so I could show the world. But – Tua threw his last pick, and Tyreek Hill walked off the field before the game was even over. Yeah.
He left.
And I'm like, what is that
he
about?
Was done.
Like, I'm like, what is that about? Right. So then I had to make sure that that was like a real clip, and I saw another one. So, I mean, you could tell there's definitely like some frustration there, but Tyreek Hill was getting beat up in that last game. So I will say, like, those are some of the great benefits that we have. We were blessed enough to be able to sit our starters in week 18. And Miami couldn't. They had to play in that game because they were playing for the number one seed. So, you know, I'm really blessed that we were able to take that break and take that rest. And it really sucks that Miami is coming in here with no rest. It's, you know, another week right back for them. So, it's definitely going to be.
Well, and something else. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's definitely going to be a different challenge for them this week because they're going off of no rest.
Yeah.
And it's a short week. Well, no, because they played on Saturday, right? So it's the same.
No, they played Sunday night.
Oh, so it's a short Sunday week. Night. Yeah. Short week for them.
Technically, okay, yeah. Well, what I was going to say is, you know, when Tyreek was a Chief, especially the last year was with us, we all complained about how many drops he was having, right? I don't know if you guys have been hanging out watching any of Dolphins Twitter right now. They're complaining about the drops. And I'm like, we told you guys about the drops years ago. Okay. But here's the thing. It is not easier to catch a football that is a rock, right? That football is going to be a rock. So the thing about this game, you know, talking about drops, like wide receivers are going to have to make sure they are catching that ball with their hands and bringing it in. That ball is going to be hard. We cannot expect Butker to come in and save our butts because we can't score in the red zone because the ball is going to be too freaking hard for him to kick.
Yes. Okay?
It is not fun kicking a hard ball.
This is honestly one of those games where, like, if Harrison misses the first one, we might need to go for two. It's going to be so hard to kick that ball with as cold as it's going to be. Mm-hmm. I said that earlier when I was working.
And the wind's going to be swirling too. So like you're kicking a rock hard ball with the wind swirling because it's going to be ridiculous outside and that big wind gusts. Like this is not a game where we can rely on Harrison Butker to come in and save us.
Not only is it that cold, we just can't. Not only is it that cold, but it's also windy.
Like I think the wind chill, not the wind chill, but I think the wind is supposed to be like 10.
It's going to be worse than that.
It's going to be an interesting.
Well, I'm pulling it up. Hold on.
It's going to be horrible for us fans who are sitting there watching.
Oh, it's going to be horrible.
And so I can only think about the players on the field.
I think this is just going to be a huge Pacheco game, a huge CEH.
And CEH.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1-2 punch. We need both of them at their best. I think CEH is ready for it. I think Pacheco is obviously ready for it. He's fantastic all the time. But yeah, and I think
max wind gusts of 23 miles an hour.
There you go. 23 miles per hour. So
that's a lot.
Our O-line did look good in the run game, even against the Chargers this past week. So I feel good about that. Like I feel really good about our run game. I feel really good about that. And I know,
especially with them both being fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Patrick would love to have his long down the field passes, right? That's what he said is like he wants to have. I just don't know if that's realistic. And
we need those.
Resort to that. But I hope we don't resort to that if it's like that's not working.
So
I don't want him to force that, but we do need those to open up the offense. You have to have those long shots. Otherwise, they're going to clog the middle of the field.
Correct.
Like we have to have those long shots to open up the offense.
And Rushdie, I think they're both going to get their share.
Well, I think more than that, I think
give Nicole some too. Make him run.
I think Nicole Hardman, because I think Nicole is going to really be active this week. Like in a perfect world, I want to see Travis Kelce, Rashee Rice, Mecole Hardman on the field at the same time, even if you put in like a Noah Gray. Like if you're able to have at least those three weapons on the same time, that's going to confuse the defense and they're not going to know what to do. They might play it too high. They might not. You know what I mean? Because what are they going to do with all three of these dudes on the field at the same time? And basically, I think with Mecole Hardman playing 100% of the snaps last week, that really shows like, all right, he's healthy. His mind is right. He can go out here and he can do this. And I think like one thing a lot of people forget about Mecole is 2-time Super Bowl champion. This ain't his first time. He's been here. He done this. So he definitely know how to come out here and play in the playoff environment. One time. He only has one ring. I thought he had two.
Mecole has two. No, we won our second one without him. Our second one without Mecole.
He was here. He was here.
No, he wasn't. We won our last Super Bowl without. Oh, Nicole, I'm thinking Tyreek. I'm so sorry.
I was like, what? No, I was like,
no. My mind. I'm so sorry. My brain was thinking Tyreek the whole time you were saying that. I'm like, nah. It was a big deal. We won without. I'm sorry. Nicole was here for both. Yes, I am so sorry.
Not him, as he was a rookie the first one, correct.
Yep.
Yes, Tyreek Hill.
Sorry about that, guys.
You keep us on our toes. It's okay.
Sorry.
But
my brain is not.
It don't gotta be here. It's fine. It's fine. It don't gotta be here. We love you still. And so do everybody listening. We all love you. But my point is, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to play in the playoffs. He understands the importance. I expect him to have a bigger role. I think Mecole is going to have a bigger role this year than he's had in prior years of us going into the playoffs. And I personally, and I know a lot of people are not going to agree with this, I want Mecole to take all of KT's snaps, all of MVS's snaps.
I'm down.
Take them.
I'm down.
I don't want to see either of
me
them.
Me either.
So, well, the thing is, Kadarius Toney is still limited this week. So I'm like, are we even going to see him?
And I'm sure they'll activate him. I'm sure they will. Hopefully. But I mean, it's going to be super cold, right? So KT, I fully expect him to have drops, which God bless. I fully expect
I don't want him near the ball. I don't want him near it.
Yeah. But what else is he going to do? He ain't like MVS. He ain't going to
block. He can sit. He can be a bench warmer. Keep Mahomes' bench spot warm.
Keep the jacket warm. Keep the jacket warm.
Literally.
And the Gatorade
warm. Keep it warm for Mahomes.
Keep the Gatorade warm.
That's what he can do.
Keep the Gatorade warm.
Ew.
So where do you get?
Get some hot chocolate.
So Jody wants our guys.
Get him some coffee.
Gatorade on the sideline.
It is gonna be a light day. Yeah, warm Gatorade.
One thing I want to touch on that we haven't said is this is Tua's first playoff game
in like life. Correct.
Such a.
Because it's so crazy.
It's so negative temperatures.
Lexi, weren't we talking the other day and I made you like immediately Google what was the temperature in Buffalo last year when they went up there and played? What did you come up with?
So,
like, I don't remember what you said.
I don't remember either.
Because I wanted to know what the temperature was up there because they played decent, right?
I do think they were. So the game ended 31-34.
They were healthy. And it was they were also playing with the backup.
Yeah.
They were healthy.
Tua has not played in a playoff game because they had to play with Skylar Thompson.
Yeah.
Oh, Skylar.
He can be our backup for sure. What's he at? He could definitely come.
I don't know where he went.
I need him or Drew Luck to make
come on over.
He played backup in their playoff game. And they
I take Drew Luck over Blaine Gabbert right now.
A thousand times over, I would say.
They played well, but it was like.
But the Bills probably play bad too.
Yeah, they did.
Like both of their defenses were not great.
They played bad too. And the Bills, if you remember, they had the Bengals the next week and it was snowing at their home and they just completely folded. It was just not their year by any means.
And year is their year, Lexi.
I know. But,
Jody.
I'm ready to see Tua in his first playoff game at Arrowhead in a very, very harsh environment.
I don't know what quarterback would be able to come into Arrowhead this weekend with this weather and play a decent game. Besides maybe Bill Belichick. God bless. Tom Brady. And that's because he's used to it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even play football anymore.
And Joe Burrow should just be thanking his lucky stars that we fell apart that second half a few years ago.
I want to take a second to slander.
Why are we talking about old negative playoff games? I did something to me. I did something. I don't know what is happening.
I want to take just like give me like 15 seconds to slander the Bills. Okay. I was listening I was listening to First Take today, and I cannot remember who was actually on my screen talking because I was working.
Was it Chris Broussard or whatever?
Maybe. And he said that Josh Allen is one of the best quarterbacks alive, and he is having one of the best seasons this year. And I was like, are you not watching Bills football? Like, what? First of all, he looked absolutely horrible last week, and the reason why they got saved is because they're special teams. Hey. Secondly, he still had two interceptions last week. Like, the interceptions ain't going away.
Two interceptions and a turnover.
Yeah.
And a fumble.
Team saved you. So it's like, I don't understand, like, what all this naiveness is coming from. Granted, yes, the Bills were 6-6 at a point in time, and they won a few games, and now they're back in it for some dumb reason. The Dolphins, who had a 3-game lead over the Bills, came back and lost the division. I get it. That's stupid.
Because they can't beat a team with a running record.
To try to say that the Bills are this, like, super fantastic team, they're not. I cannot wait to see playoff Josh Allen because everybody knows exactly how that goes. So, can't wait.
The Bills are flawed like every team in the AFC.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the defense. do you expect from it?
Well, honestly, just real quick, that's kind of what I think is hilarious these last few weeks at the Bills. It's like, oh, they're a wagon. They're this, this, and this. And I'm like, they barely beat the Chargers with Easton Stick with their starters. That came down to, like, a field goal at the end. They barely beat the Patriots.
That was ugly. Chargers should have won that game.
They should have, honestly. Yeah. They barely beat Bailey Zappi the next week. They barely beat the Dolphins last week. I mean, let's be real. Like, the Bills are a good team. I will give them that. They find ways to win in these last few weeks, right? Like, they have good players on their team.
Sure, but Von Miller has been on the bench for how many weeks?
Do I think Josh Allen is the best quarterback in the NFL? No. Like,
he's done absolutely no.
He
win an AFC championship.
Okay. Also, Jody, you'll appreciate this.
Okay.
Talk about one of his touchdowns from last week that he literally threw up and got tipped, and he got so lucky that the guy toe tipped in the back of the end zone and caught it. I don't even know who it was that caught it.
You guys want to know what Josh Allen is the best at?
What?
Josh Allen is the best at putting his team in bad situations
and having to come through for him.
I mean, you
can, and I don't just like Josh Allen. I think he's a cool dude. I think he's probably a good person.
I do too. I think he's a good guy, but
he's like, sure. But he's but a lot of people are good people, right? We've said that before. So
that's my Bills tangent. Hopefully we win this week and get them next week. It'll be a lot to talk about.
I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Gotta just win this week.
I hope their booties.
Gotta win this week.
Actually, I hope Mason Rudolph goes in there and stomps all over their parade. And
how hilarious would that be?
I would not be surprised to see the Steelers upset the Bills.
I wouldn't either.
I'm not saying it will happen, but I would not be surprised.
Probably not because he's gotten lucky these last few games, and he just continues to get freaking lucky for no reason. But yeah, they would not have won if it wasn't for special teams and that weird lucky end zone catch they had.
Everybody keeps talking about how they don't want to play the Bills again, but I need y'all to remember that the Bills cannot beat us in the postseason.
Knock on
they
wood.
Can have all the regular.
Oh my God.
They cannot beat us in
they
the
haven't post. Yet, but they could.
I mean,
hey, I'm just gonna keep knocking till Jody's done talking.
Knocking, sorry, but I'm just going off with the stats that you can look up yourself right now on Google or on ESPN.
So
or
far, Instagram. They have not. I'm just saying,
that's all I'm saying.
Weird season, and I don't know.
Anyway, so what do you guys think about the defense going into this game? What do we need to see from them besides them being the elite team that they have already been? I think I read something earlier today that said that the Chiefs defense was second in the NFL in points allowed. And I was like, well, duh. Duh. We've been saying that all year long. And y'all thought we were lying.
Y'all want to talk about the rant that Kyle Brandt went on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Good morning.
Oh, my God. He's an idiot.
So he went on to say that apparently all the Dolphins need to do is score 30 points on the Chiefs and they can win, which I don't know if he watched the Germany game a few weeks ago where they scored 14. I don't know if he's watched our defense this entire season where we have not let over 27 points, which is weird to the Packers. And that was a fluke to me, honestly, because other than that, we have not let up that many points like at all. So his take was very, I don't even know where it came
agenda.
From.
I'm like, what agenda?
Agenda-driven, for sure. But he's like, yeah.
It's because he's a Bills lover.
Yes,
but yeah, he's a Bills lover. And
you would think he would hate
the Bills. Tell us you haven't watched the Chiefs game without telling us.
But that doesn't make really absurd takes about things that aren't true. Like, now you're just going to flat out lie?
That's all he ever does, though. He does that when it comes to the Bills every single year. Like, he just, like,
don't
he's annoying. I don't know. I used to think he was cool, and then he's like the Bills version of Nick Wright. You know?
Literally, yeah. No, he is. I said that today.
But no, Nick Wright is like,
they're neck and neck.
Oh, do you?
Nick Wright is like, I'm going to push your button, okay? Like, I'm going to make you angry.
And I love that. Oh, I love him. I love Nick Wright.
I love him too, but we would hate him if we weren't Chiefs fans.
Yeah, like I'm sure Bills fans like love Kyle, whatever his face is.
Sure they do.
But anyway,
what are you guys' thoughts about the defense going into this game? What are your thoughts about the defense going into this game, especially considering what the weather conditions are going to be and how they can really make that? They can really make a huge impact in this game based off of the weather solely. I mean, we already know they got a beat up O-line. Their receiving core is a little beat up. Running backs a little beat up. Our defense should be able to go in here and take full advantage of this team, considering the weather. I'm sure Andy has probably made them boys go outside and practice a little bit, just kind of start getting ready to the elements. I'm sure they're having indoor and outdoor practices this week. So what are your thoughts about going into this week?
I would say, you know, our defense has been great at shutting down number one wide receivers the entire season. So I expect them to be playing that same type of game. However, our running defense does need to step it up. Correct. Because Miami can run the ball, and we don't want the time of possession being so lopsided because we can't get Mahomes on the field because our defense is allowing the run to take all the clock. So my big thing is stop the run, you know, keep Tyreek and Waddle like they've been doing all season. Keep doing it. Snead and McDuffie and Watson and Edwards, all of them. Keep doing what you've been doing in the secondary. But our D-line has definitely got to make sure that they do not take advantage of the run and milk all the clock. Because in a game like this, possessions are going to be key. You have to take advantage of your possessions, and you've got to get points on those possessions. And we need more 7-point possessions than 3-point possessions on offense. So our defense will be our best offense by getting the ball back to our offense quicker than I feel like maybe they have in the past few games.
I just want to chime in real quick because I know Lexi's about to go. I will say one thing about the Dolphins. They're not a team that knows how to really – they don't have great clock management. So I will say that might be one advantage that we have. They don't know how to – they're not like the Chiefs or the Bills or the – I'm going to just stop there before I keep going. But they're not like these teams that actually know how to take advantage of time of possession and – run the clock down all the way down to the last 5 seconds and then get the snap off. The Dolphins don't operate that way at all. They play like high-powered, fast offensive football. And I think that they're going to get put in a lot of situations where they do have a lot of three and outs this week. And I think our defense is going to help with that, but I think they're going to make a lot of key errors too, solely based off of like the weather and just our defense being the way they are. Go ahead, Lexi.
I do want to touch on, we did add Isaiah Bugs.
Yeah.
From the Detroit Lions.
Love that.
To our defensive line specifically. I'm really excited about him. I think we're going to get him involved, and I think he's a really good
one. Has he been activated?
Not yet.
To the roster, or is he still in the practice squad?
I think he's still on the practice squad.
And they actually, no one asked Andy about that today, which I don't like, but... Regardless, I think we brought him in for a reason, and I think he gets activated. And he's a really good run stopper. So for that, I'm like, please
listen
and get him in there and get him active immediately. I agree. Yeah. I think run stopping is the key. I don't worry about anyone passing on us. I think all of our cornerbacks are hilarious, and they are just on it, like Snead, McDuffie, Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams, like those guys are just on it. So I don't worry about that hugely with them. And I think with Tua, it's all about getting pressure on him. We saw that the last time we played them in Germany. You get pressure on him, he panics and can't do anything.
Yep.
And I think this is a really big game for him. I mean, this is obviously his first playoff game he's playing in, but it's in a really hostile environment in Arrowhead, which is really loud, and it's going to be really cold.
It's going to be really loud because everybody's really going to be angry because they're cold.
Right. Really loud, really cold.
Well, it's Tyreek's return to Arrowhead.
And he's going like, to
I do. People may be cold, but they're going to be wanting to make themselves heard.
One thing I think Tyreek, I think they're going to figure out a way to get him a touchdown because it's Arrowhead, and I think they're just.
I mean, they should.
I do. But aside from that, I don't think they win, and I do think our defense is going to dominate them. I think our D-line, all together as a unit, finally healthy. Pretty much our entire team is healthy, which is outstanding. And Charles Omenihue, Chris Jones, George Karlaftis, Mike Dana, like those guys all the D-line, like they are going to dominate Tua.
They better. Like, this is the game, again. Back also, to Chris Jones. If Chris Jones can play that aggressively last week, I fully expect him to do that this week. You can do it. You basically showed all of Chiefs Kingdom what you can do.
Yeah.
How do you play like that the whole entire season? He might get that 30 plus million that he's looking for in this offseason. But because he did not all season, he ain't going to get it.
But also, I want to say to the people, and I know Jody and I will be there, to the people of Arrowhead, yeah. Do not give Miami Dolphins a moment of peace on offense. Be loud the entire time.
First down, second down, third down, fourth down, all of them.
I don't want one. I don't want
Do not wait till third down to get loud.
Here's the blessing.
Have a voice. I don't want anyone to have a voice leaving that.
Here's the blessing. Most people are off on Monday because it's a holiday.
Right.
We play on Saturday.
Yeah, yo.
You have all of Sunday.
Yeah, yo.
But to take one, you need to be hydrating and taking your medicine and taking your vitamins right now to prepare for Saturday because it's going to be disgusting.
Pomegranate juice, orange juice, airborne. Everything. Take it all.
Take it all. And then Sunday, I want you all to go home and relax and recover and not move. I don't want anybody to move on Sunday. Turn on TV, watch a little wild card football, and that's it. Sunday's the recovery day because you're going to give it your all on Saturday. Don't get too drunk in the parking lot because it's going to be too cold.
I know it's like
new layers on.
It's like Seattle's thing, but like we are the 12th man on Saturday.
Some whiskey, hot chocolate, keep you warm.
I do not care. We're the 12th man on Saturday.
Yeah, no, and I think Arrowhead's going to be loud, just kind of like Chrissy said, just because Tyreek Hill is coming back in.
Oh, it's going to be loud.
But he's been kind of quiet this week. Like, you don't hear him really chirping on
the sideline. It's going to be a hostile, hostile playoff environment. Bring it on.
But no, I agree with you. I think the defense needs to just really continue to do everything that they have been doing. But we got to figure out a way to get the run stop defense going. So I don't know if that's George Karloftis. I don't know if that's Nick Bolton. I don't know who that is. I don't know who it is. It's all of them. But we really got. And I think that's the thing, right? So like, I feel like I said this last week and the week prior, like. Regular season, cool. Regular season was great. Everybody's at 0-0 now. 0-0 football starting now. Even though, you know, some teams ended with a 13-4 record. Some teams ended with a 9-8 and they're going into the playoffs. None of that matters anymore. Everybody's 0-0. And I think that is the one advantage that this Chiefs team has is most of the people on this team have been to the playoffs, to the AFC Championship, to the Super Bowl twice. We have that advantage. We have that mentality. And I think that they're really offensive side, defensive side, whatever. They're really going to try to pull that out of each other because they have that to go with. So where our defense has been very elite, I think they're going to kick it into a higher gear this week. I think it really goes into a higher gear. I think we maybe get a pick six that's not a playoff, I mean, a preseason in week four game, right? I think we finally get something like that against this Dolphins team. Like, if there's a team to do it against in the AFC that we're going to possibly face, I think this Dolphins team is the team to do it, mainly because they do have so many unfortunate injuries and bugs and things like that happening on their team. And Tua's not that great, respectfully.
I'm struggling
to believe the team to do it again.
I'm struggling to believe that he can handle these big moments after last week and the collapse we saw on him last week. My God.
Yeah, that was awful.
He was at home.
That was awful.
He looked terrible.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes will figure out a way to throw the ball to the receiver, even if he's down three receivers. And the thing is now they may drop the ball, right? But he's not going to throw an interception in the last second of the game. He's going to throw an interception in the third quarter and second quarter. But he ain't going to throw it in the last second of the game. I'm just saying. So, yeah. Those are my thoughts about that. I think.
So, what do we want to see from the offense then?
I want to see.
Consistency.
Discipline.
I just want them to play clean. I want us to have a very heavy run game this week. Run the damn ball. Run the ball.
Just run the damn ball. Run the ball.
That's it. Yes, throw the ball to your receivers. And when I say receivers, I mean Travis Kelce, Rashee Rice, Mecole Hardman, Justin Watson. Throw the ball to them. Maybe Noah Gray, but throw the ball to them. First four that I named first. But I want to see the run game be crazy. I don't want to see Patrick on the ground at all. These left and right tackles better figure it out. I don't care who it is. Somebody better figure it out because it's too cold for Patrick to be on the ground.
It's too cold.
It's too cold.
That's right. It's too cold. It's too hard and too cold.
Imagine pushing somebody on the ground when it's negative 12 outside.
Disgusting.
I don't care how many layers Patrick got on. And I know that he's a snow game guy and he loves this. He's psycho.
I love that they love it. Like, I love that they love it. I'm so glad. But Yeah.
But I will say this could possibly be the last game at Arrowhead. So everybody needs to enjoy this moment because our AFC championship game could possibly be on the road if we make it through these next 2 weeks. So. Right.
Yeah, I basically it's hard to say. Like, I mean, the easy answer is just run the ball. Like, you have Isaiah Pacheco. He is our heart and soul this year. He really is. Like,
yeah.
That kid gives 150% on every single snap, every single carry. Yeah. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire has looked really good these last few weeks, and I can't wait to see the 1-2 punch with them finally in together. So I think that's our main thing, is running the ball and doing it efficiently and keeping the Dolphins' offense off the field. No one talks about that. Like, everyone's like, oh, keep Patrick Mahomes off. No, keep the Dolphins off. Keep their offense off. So that's my main thing. And then, like you said, I hope Rashee Rice, I think he's going to have a big game. I think Mecole Hardman has a chance to get really involved. And I hope Travis kind of is able to break out again. I really hope he's able to.
He's rested. So
he's really
he should have a good game.
Down.
Travis, he's rested. He should have a good game.
Yeah. He's really due for a touchdown. So
yeah, he is.
Excited. I think our offense, I think they're going to kind of figure it out. That's honestly my theory. I think they're going to figure it out.
Let's quickly talk about wild card weekend. Let's maybe take like 5 minutes on this because there are a lot of really good games this weekend. It's like the NFL scripts got it right.
Oh yeah.
Like really Tyreek Hill coming back.
He really did. It's kind of crazy.
Back to the Lions, to Detroit. There's just a lot of really good games this weekend. So Steelers and Bills, like Chrissy said, I wouldn't be surprised if there was an upset there. I could fully see that, but I think this Browns and Texans game is really going to be good. Like, I think that's such a good freaking game. And they're going to be playing in Houston. So
it's Stroud and Collins play like they did last game.
Yeah. Ooh. He has balling, right? And they're playing in a dome, so they don't have to deal with elements. So that's going to be a really freaking good game.
Yeah.
Buffalo, there's chance of snow there this weekend. So it's always a chance of snow in Buffalo. It's like it's always sunny in Philadelphia. It never rains in California. You know where I'm going. the Packers and the Cowboys at 3:00 on Sunday. Now, if you know the Cowboys, they lose to the Packers all the time.
All the time.
I don't know how this game is going to go.
All the time.
Mike McCarthy's old team coming back to Dallas. So I think that is going to be really interesting. You got the Eagles and the Bucks on Monday Night Football. What if the Eagles lose?
I kind of think they will.
I wouldn't be shocked. They're not. They've lost 5 out of 6.
They are bad.
I really like Jalen Hurts. I really like Jason Kelsey. I like some of those guys. But, like, I kind of like Baker Mayfield, and I kind of like the vibe they have in Tampa. Perfect. And I could see them winning.
Mike Evans has sold my last 2 parlays for the last 2 weeks.
Oh, no.
I have been – because Mike Evans has technically had a touchdown every week except the last 2 weeks. So I am angry with Mike Evans. I need him to get it together this week.
But also, can we talk about how much the Eagles have sucked?
They have. That's what happens when your head coach comes to Arrowhead and starts a.
Ever since then, they've been like, what? Like, they have like.
Karma!
Yeah.
Karma.
Karma is the guy.
Whatever.
Karma
is a guy on the
Chiefs. What happened. And it's really unfortunate because the Eagles spent a lot of money in the offseason to have this elite team to try to run it back and go back to the Super Bowl this year. Their defense has not been that great. Their offense has been not great. O-line killing Jalen. Their receivers can't stay healthy. A.J. Brown hurt. Devontae Smith hurt.
A.J. Brown's banged up,
Yeah, they're going through. Yeah. Devontae Smith banged up. Like, they're 1-5 in games since beating
them.
So that is what you get. It's not our problem. Don't suck. Be better. And I think they really have a lot to figure out in this offseason. Karma is the facts. But they have a lot that they have to figure out in this offseason because they went from not great. They went from really, really good to really, really bad. Anyway, in the last game,
you got some fire tonight with these comments. That's hilarious.
Seriously,
tough to win football games, and the only mature person is your center and quarterback.
I mean, you could also say that for the Dolphins. Like,
you're now, Dolphins, I mean, that's the crazy thing is no one's really talked about how they've just fallen off these last few weeks.
I mean,
they're not performing where they should
be. But Lexi, we have. We on this podcast have talked about since the beginning of the year, since week 5 and week 6, how the only teams that the Dolphins have beaten were under 500 teams. We've always spoke about that. It's just people didn't really.
They've had one team that they've beat with a winning record. One team.
And the last
it was like by a field goal.
And that was a weird, that was a weird game.
Exactly. In the last game of Wild Card Weekend, which is really good, really excited for this one, Rams and Lions. Matthew Stafford
really
back to
that.
The old stomping ground. Did y'all see Amon Ross St. Brown dye his hair blue? I actually like it. You can tell.
So does Jared Goff.
Me and
Jared Goff.
Remember Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford? They like. Jared Goff played for the Rams.
Yeah. They switched. That's so.
Remember, weird. They just like switched him. Yeah, they're like, here, you take him. We'll take him.
Yeah,
and then like Houston, you know, like they sent Deshaun to the Browns. Like, there's every game has a script. I swear, guys.
Yeah,
the NFL script writers got this one so good.
It's crazy.
I want to ask you guys quickly.
They did a great job.
I'm gonna run down the slate again, and I want y'all to just rattle off really quickly who you think will win that game. So Steelers at Bills. Who wins that game?
Steelers.
I'm going
for it.
I'm going to go Bills, but I hope Steelers, but I think Bills.
I'm going to go Bills too. And I would love if Mike Tomlin got in his winning bag and figured out a way to do it. I really want to know
speaking
what y'all's thoughts are.
Into existence.
I really want to know what the thoughts are in the comments too. I want y'all to tell us who y'all think will win these games that I'm going to rattle off. And I just said Steelers versus Bills in Buffalo. Next game, Browns at Texans.
This is the one I have no idea.
Texans.
Yeah, I think the Texans win.
I'm going to go Browns just for this.
I'm not even going to overthink it. I'm just going to blurt them. I don't even care.
Well, and the Browns are super beat up right now, too. Like, Miles Garrett can't throw the ball, catch the ball, and be on the defensive line all at the same entire time. And I think Amari Cooper was out.
Joey Flacco.
Joe Flacco been balling.
He's been balling.
And Amari Cooper, he was out for the last game because he was hurt, right? I think Amari Cooper was out for the last game because he was hurt, so he may be back.
Yeah,
he was out.
But it was probably just like a rest, right? Right. Packers at Cowboys.
I feel like because they were locked in, so.
Yeah.
I'm going Cowboys.
Lexi?
I think Cowboys. Go Packers for fun.
I think the Packers are going to win.
My friend is a Packers fan.
Packers
I hope the Packers win.
Like, I
would love to see the Packers.
They're not this superstar elite team, but the history of the Packers and the Cowboys. And yes, Mike McCarthy isn't there. Aaron Rodgers isn't there. They're playing with Jordan. Like, I get it. But I still think the Packers find a way to get this win. It's the Chiefs versus the Colts. A million times over. That's what this is.
Why?
Hey.
Stop it.
Eagles at Bucks. Who wins Eagles at Bucks?
Okay, I'm going Bucks, actually.
Bucks.
Yeah, I am too.
Ooh,
I don't think the Eagles win. They barely made it in.
Nope.
If the freaking Giant, well, no, the Giant Commanders were just god-awful. And Rams at Lions. So good.
Oh,
who wins this
man.
One?
Oh, I'm going with Lions, but it would not shock me for the Rams to.
You know what's funny is like those are the two teams in the NFC that I really like. I really like the Lions. I love their culture. I really like what they have going there.
Dan Campbell, coach of the year.
Like the Rams, I really like Puka Nacua. I really like Matt. Like I feel like there's just such good things with both teams. I would love to see either of them in the
Who has better coaching?
I don't know. I really don't. I'm going to go Lions.
They're both.
I'm going to go Lions.
McVay is a great coach. And I think Dan Campbell's also a great coach.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this
is
Lions.
McVay was, they touted as the youngest offensive mind.
Yeah. But I honestly, this game for me, like, I don't really care. But like, either way, I'll be happy for whatever team wins, I guess.
I want the Lions to win this one.
Yeah.
I want the Lions to win this one just because.
Sorry, that comment got me.
Comic Bay is hotter. Go Rams.
It's hotter than Kim.
His house is ridiculous. Oh, wait. No, that's not him. That was the other one. Never mind.
It's hotter, Jared Goff or Matthew Stafford.
Focus, people. I'm like,
Goff, duh.
Hello. I know it's time to wrap the show. I'm going Lions just because I really like the story that's happening with the Lions right now, and especially with all the drama and the controversy over the last 2 weeks with did he check in or not and all the billboards that popped up around the city. It's just a fun, cute little story.
Right. I know.
So I'm gonna go ahead and go Lions. Yeah, I'm gonna go Lions, and then maybe they lose to LaPorta is out.
Oh, that sucks.
I forgot about that. It's but crazy. I'm still going Lions at home. We're at home.
Actually, outside of our game, that's probably the game I'm most looking forward to be honest.
Yeah.
I think it's
Again, McVay, Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing, but I don't know. That's like, what do you think our game would be like if we were going to Miami this week and not staying in Kansas City? I think home field advantage is going to play a big part of a lot of the games this weekend. And we didn't even really talk about it.
Okay. It is similar, though. You're right. Because, like, Tyreek and Arrowhead and then Stafford. But I feel like Stafford, I feel like, is bigger. That's like if Alex Smith came back for a playoff game. We'd be like,
yeah,
tough, you know? Like, we loved him. And they love Stafford.
But ultimately, yeah, but I would be like, I love you, but don't care. Go get the
money. It is what it is.
And Tyreek Hill coming back. There's kind of some bad blood there versus Stafford going, was it bad blood when he left? No? Yes.
We got bad blood.
I feel like maybe a little bit.
Too many Taylor Swift references in this episode today. Way too many.
I feel like a little bit, but not... I feel like it was just like Stafford was like, I'm not going to win in Detroit, so get me out. And then
He went and got a ring.
So.
And then they had a really bad season.
Honestly, so saying that, I think Detroit's going to win. I do.
So D-Max says this will be.
They love Stafford, so I don't think it's going to be like any animosity there.
Max says this is Detroit's first playoff game in 30 years. Remember when Kansas City won their Super Bowl in 50? I mean, it's giving the same
energy. I think you're going to win. I think you're going to get it.
Yeah, right? I'm going Lions. I like it. I want to see the blue hair. I want everybody to wear the blue stripes again like they did that 1 week. I think Dan Campbell's going to be fired up. It's going to be good. Like, I can't wait.
It's going to be so good.
It's going to be so good. All right, so Chiefs, Dolphins. I think the points for this game, going off the top of my head because I don't remember, it's like 44, which I don't think we're gonna score that many points. It's too cold to score that many points.
Pacheco.
Who wins this game? I know, right? Isaiah Pacheco, take him for 3 anytime touchdowns. who wins this game? What's your score prediction?
Chiefs win this game 28-21.
You think there's going to be 50 points, 49 points in this game? And it's going to be a negative 10 win shoot? You think they're going to be able to put 21 points up? Huh.
Heck yeah.
Whatever runs out of fireworks, that's how many points I want. Whatever runs out of fireworks at Arrowhead. Yep. That's how many points I want.
There you go. Well, yeah. Definitely have the Chiefs, of course. Score prediction. I didn't even want to do it. That's why I put a question mark in our.
Did you?
Yeah.
You know, I've only looked at the outline twice. So there's that.
Thank you.
I've had it up the whole episode. Yeah, no. The whole episode.
My phone's dying. It's fine.
We're tired. I say,
oh, I probably should do the banner that I made. Score predictions. Let me use the banner that I made.
What did you say, Chrissy? 28-21.
28-21.
Y'all think it's gonna be that many points?
And I think the 21 is garbage time.
So you're saying,
we're looking at,
I think it's 28-14. 28-14, and then we get soft at the end, and they get another touchdown.
It would be hilarious if it was the same score as the first time we faced them.
I don't remember what that was.
21-14.
21-14.
That's my prediction. 21-14.
And that's because we played terrible in the second half.
Yeah.
Correct. Awful. Even though it was really early, and I really don't remember that far back. Oh, I would think I drank a whole bottle of champagne that day. No wonder I don't remember.
I would love if it was like 35-10. 35-10. So great, but I'm going 14 again.
So just so you guys know, the points for this game is now at 43.5, and the spread moved from 3.5 to 4. So we're favored by 4 points now instead of 3.5. So
why? Due to injury or something, maybe?
Weather? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I now have to do what I've been doing the last few weeks. How many games have we won in a row? Two. That's it.
Two. Okay.
So
so sad.
So bad. We don't say it like that. We won two games in a row.
Because we had the Raiders. That was just awful.
So. Woo! So the last 2 weeks I've just been saying, just went by at least whatever. And I think I said 3. I think we win this game by 10 this week. I don't know the score. I don't think we're going to score 43.5 points collectively as two teams. I don't think that's happening because it's going to be too freaking cold.
It's going to happen.
It's going to be so cold. No, I would be very, like, if this is the last game at Arrowhead and we win the AFC Championship game on the road, I'm fine with that. Use all the fireworks.
Same.
Every single one. But I feel like because they ran out of fireworks that 1 year, they've overcompensated. So it's probably like
the last 80
touchdowns worth of fireworks at Arrowhead.
The last wild card game I was at was the Steelers game a few years ago when we played them in the wild card. Mm-hmm. And we had like 6 touchdowns and we ran out of fireworks and it was just fantastic. So I'm just hoping for and it was really cold. And
but I feel like they've doubled down since then, right?
It just snowed the day before. It was really cold. It started off not great because I think it was TJ Watt. He like scooped and scored the ball for a touchdown to start the game. And then the Chiefs just went on like a blast. And Travis Kelce threw a touchdown. I feel like we're going to get it. Nick Allegretti had a touchdown. I feel like we're just going to get a really great game kind of like that. That's the vibe I'm, like, feeling.
I want Andy to get so deep in his bag that he breaks the bottom of it. That's what I want.
Break the bottom of your bag, yeah.
Break the bottom of your Hy-Vee shopping bag.
Let's get Trey Smith a freaking touchdown. Let's get Joe Tooney a touchdown.
I would love to see a defensive touchdown, okay?
Yeah.
I will say I'm really sad that Brian Cook is probably out for the remainder of the season. I'm actually very sad about that.
I'm really sad about that.
But it's okay because he'll be back next year. Right. And he'll be even better.
Just to end real quick, if you guys had to predict.
You got to do the sponsor.
Wait, no, no.
Oh.
If you had to predict a defensive touchdown, who do you think?
Well, I'm not going to say Trent McDuffie because I've been saying that for 21 weeks. So
I know I was like purposely not saying that because
God bless. It'll probably
Mike Edwards. He leads the NFL in touchdowns since 2021. Mike Edwards,
like Justin Reed.
Okay,
I would love Justin Reed. Come on, Justin.
I feel like if it would be anybody, it would be like him. And then he's going to get on Twitter that night and go on a whole rampage.
Nick Bolton or Willie Gay?
No, Nick Bolton.
I could see our linebackers taking it.
When Willie Gay got a pick the other day, I called it before. And I said he was going to, and then he got one.
You did.
I was like,
mm-hmm. You did.
So I'm going to try to
call like it. To see Drew Tranquil get active. Drew Tranquil get us. Pick.
This is really predictable, but I'm going to say L'Jarius Sneed.
Yeah, that's predictable. But there's
that's predictable, but I'm going to call it. I'm going to put that into the atmosphere.
Universe, I hope you're listening. All right. Please. Oh, yeah. We're supposed to be doing a Ken giveaway. Thank you for reminding us, Jeffrey. We'll figure that out soon because we want new cans.
Yeah, so we got
waiting for the new cans.
But
so we can get into the sponsor. The new cans should actually be coming out soon. We're in the playoffs. So I'll hit up Josh and see what's going on with that. Ken Seltzer, first black owned seltzer in the United States, made of all fruit, 105 calories a can. Sorry. Yes, it is. We've been lying this whole time. We haven't been lying this whole time. I just went and got some more education. It's 105 calories can't made of all
fruit. We thought it was 90. It's actually 105.
We thought it was 95. It's actually 100. Made of no corn syrup, made of all fruit, vegan friendly, delicious. You can mix it. Lexi mixes it. This weekend, I will probably be mixing it with tequila at Arrowhead because it is going to be cold. Yeah. We love our sponsor. We will be doing a giveaway very soon. I'm out of cans. So there's that. So we got to just reach out and go get some. But we'll be doing a giveaway very, very soon. I want to do a giveaway on the new
be on the lookout, like maybe this next.
I want to do the strawberry lemonade. So I'm like waiting patiently because it's so cool. So yeah, shout out to the sponsor. We will have some at our tailgate this weekend. So come find us. Get a can. Good times. Good times. Good times.
Get a king can.
Come get a king can. Please, Chrissy.
Well, you guys, we've got playoff football this weekend. I'm so excited. I can't believe that the regular season of football is over and we are now firmly in the playoffs. But you know what? If someone would have told me at the beginning of the season that we would be frustrated with the team that won the division and is the third seed in the AFC, that would be, I'd be like, wait, what? How? So just enjoy this time, guys. Like, we've set incredible standards for this team. Sometimes they're a little unfair. Just go out, enjoy the playoffs, the fact that we made it here. Have fun. Be loud. As Jody said earlier, be loud on first down, second down, third down, in the huddle, constantly. Do not give them a moment of peace on that field. They're going to be uncomfortable. They are going to be cold. Make them uncomfortable. Make their ears ring, okay? Make their ears feel like mine do in these dang AirPods right now because they are so uncomfortable.
I know they are.
Go out there, be crazy, get tin cans, put coins in there, shake them, bang things, do whatever you can to be loud. But go have fun, dress warm, and go crazy, all right?
Put another layer on. That's my advice.
If you think you have just go enough, like Joey from Friends. Could I be wearing any more clothes? That's what I want to see. Go have yourself some frozen fish sticks and a nice warm cup of hot chocolate. And go enjoy Arrowhead, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, your queens have spoken.
And hopefully we have our first playoff win.
God bless.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.